breaking news, reports say former Jets quarterback Sam Darnold is on his way to the Panthers for a sixth-round pick this year and a second-round and fourth-rounder next year. Darnold's name has been in trade talks since the Jets have the second pick in this year's NFL draft. So, Marcellus, what's your reaction to Sam Darnold heading to Carolina?
Good for Sam Darnold. I think it's going to be two questions answered at one time. One is, was he a product of his environment? Or will he produce in his new environment? And will he produce in his new environment? Because I think a lot of evaluators, myself included, thinks that Sam Darnold got a raw deal playing for the Jets, especially playing for Adam Gase and that Adam Gase effect, which is a negative effect typically on some of these offensive star players. That said, I'm looking at a situation in Carolina where you look 5-11. Teddy Bridgewater, I don't know what you did to anybody in that organization, but boy, I haven't seen somebody's name and game drug through the mud more so than Teddy Bridgewater as an afterthought in terms of their plans going forward. But in their plans going forward, as we know, offensive coordinator Joe Brady sits there. He looks around. He's like, look, Teddy ain't it. Now, who is out there that is it? Sam Darnold, obviously one of the players. I used to see Sam Darnold play almost weekly when he was here at USC covering the games. And I used to watch him. And, you know, the whole USC stigma of quarterback was always in your head when you watched me like, is he going to be another one of those? Mark Sanchez. And then I was like, now, Sam Darnold looks different. But then he goes to the Jets, and he didn't look that much different in terms of what his win-loss percentage was, his passing yards per game, 35th. How are you 35th in anything in the NFL when there's only 32 teams? You know how. When you're not a guy that's playing up to standard. Now, it's all on you, Sam Darnold. I think the opportunity is right for him to do well in Carolina. I don't think it's a team that's close, but certainly it will be beneficial for Sam Darnold to shine out there.
I agree with that take. I'm going to say this. It's a huge win for Sam Darnold, and I think for the first time I've seen Joe Douglas make a move that I question. Let me tell you first, huge win for Sam Darnold. Remember Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator at LSU when Joe Burrow had the historical season that broke all the records. The same Joe Burrow that couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State transfers to LSU, and now he goes crazy because of Joe Brady. Keeping in mind, Joe Burrow is actually older than Sam Darnold. So give Joe Brady a young quarterback that has skill sets, that has the tangibles and intangibles that he can mold, and I think Sam Darnold will go ball like we all thought he could when he was made the number 3 overall pick just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Now, why is it a suspect move for the Jets? Because quarterbacks that are forced to start immediately always struggle. Whether it is let me not say this. They don't always struggle. They don't necessarily maximize their potential. Whether it's going to be Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, now they're going to have to be thrust into the starting lineup right away. I said this before, I'll say it again. Last year's NFL MVP, Aaron Rodgers, he sat for 48 weeks before becoming the starter. The year before that, the MVP, Lamar Jackson, he sat for 9 weeks before becoming the starter. The year before that, the MVP, Patrick Mahomes, he sat for 15 weeks before becoming the starter. The year before that, the MVP, Tom Brady, he sat for 18 weeks before becoming the starter. The last 4 NFL MVPs have sat before being thrust into the starting lineup. So who was the worst quarterback last year statistically by passer rating? The man we're talking about now, Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
He was thrust into the starting lineup right away. Huge win for Sam Darnold, and that now he's coupled with Joe Brady. But I question the Jets because now that talented pick they will take with the number 2 overall pick will be forced to start right away. And when you are forced to start right away, that doesn't necessarily guarantee you long-term success, although it looks like success in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be that deep. First, you know... You got to just pull yourself out of this bad situation if you're the New York Jets. And also put some focus on Adam Gase. Do or die for you, Adam Gase. Ryan Tannehill, much better player without Adam Gase. We can see it. 93 passer rating to 110. Devontae Parker, better player without him. Jarvis Landry, Kenyon Drake. Sam Darnold started seeing ghosts with Adam Gase as his offensive coordinator, head coach mindset. And that was a problem for Sam Darnold because he couldn't figure it out in this situation, in this circumstance. So then, usually in that situation, you're doomed. You become what a Josh Rosen became in the same draft. Remember Josh Rosen? Bounced around. Where's Josh Rosen right now? Third string on depth chart. And if you look at his situation, he comes out in the same draft with Baker Mayfield, comes out the same draft as a Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So you can see the disparity between some of these guys are hitting. You can talk about Lamar Jackson. You could talk about certainly Josh Allen. It's still questionable, Baker Mayfield, but looking like a hit potentially. And then there's Rosen and Darnold. Rosen, for all intents and purposes, people are like, yo, I don't even know if he's ready for this situation upstairs. Sam Darnold seems like he's fully into this moment, fully invested, yep. But it just was the bad situation. Absolutely. So sometimes the seed can't take root because of the soil. Oh. And the Jet soil is not the type of soil to cultivate.
Let's go there, Sal. Because at least in football, I'm a fervent believer that the environment more so dictates the outcome necessarily than the product itself. At least in football. I believe so in life, but we're going to have a football conversation.
Let's do it.
Baker Mayfield looked average at best prior to the season. Mm-hmm. But remember Baker Mayfield prior to the season. His first coach was Hugh Jackson, who was 1-31 the previous 2 years before Baker Mayfield took over. Okay. Then Baker Mayfield has a coach in Freddie Kitchens, who has half a year being an offensive coordinator before becoming a head coach. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield also had a coach in Greg Williams for a temporary head coach in Greg Williams, who made a call so egregious this past season for the Jets, a team in question that we're talking about, that we questioned if Greg Williams was throwing the game. Then you brought in a competent head coach for Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski, and all of a sudden, he's one of five quarterbacks in the NFL this year with more than 30 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions. A coach can really make a player blossom. We've gone in an era of a day and age cell where we put too much blame on players. Mm. Oh, this dude sucks. Mm, mm. This dude is terrible. Mm. I just refuse to believe that these incredibly talented top-flight quarterbacks are all just terrible. Yeah. I think they go to terrible organizations. So I refuse to believe that a quarterback like Sam Bradford was just that bad. Yeah. But no, when you go to organizations like the Rams that are that bad at the time, all of a sudden, Sam Bradford can look that bad. I refuse to believe that Jameis Winston was just all that bad. But when you go to an organization, like you mentioned in the Bucs, that hadn't won since 02, all of a sudden you can look that bad. Mm. So a quarterback like Sam Darnold, you saw him. I was a college football analyst for 4 years prior to coming on this show, so I watched him in great, great, great detail.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold was a dude.
Yeah.
Now, he had some dudes with him, but he was a dude. All of a sudden, Big Dog, he's seeing ghosts. Worst passer rating in the league. That's not all on Sam Darnold. The Panthers will have a quarterback of the future, especially with Joe Brady. Now, the Jets. The Jets really the team that people got to figure out, like, man, how long are they about to struggle? Because I think Sam Darnold is great now in good hands, and I think the Panthers are in better hands.
Yeah. Wow. So many things are going to get answered with this. The Jets, can they turn the page, flip the page, and actually find the quarterback that they're really desiring that can affect the win-loss column? Adam Gase, are you really a head coach or not? Like, this year is going to be telling in terms of that. But also Sam Darnold. Are you better than your circumstances? Are you greater than your greatest excuse? Your greatest excuse before was the New York Jets, that roster, that team, your head coach. But that's all gone now. You're in a situation where you can blossom, where you can go out there and do some things. It takes me to conversations we used to have as players. And I have a different ego in terms of being a football player. I have a tremendous ego when it comes to being a person of character, like as a father, as a brother, as a husband, et cetera. But when it came to being a football player, I ain't had the same kind of ego as I saw a lot of my teammates. That didn't make me better or worse, actually. But I used to look at situations and address them like this. 97% to me, 97 out of 100 football players are system players. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to walk around thinking we the Dondadas. Like, everywhere I go, dog, I'm going to make my impact. Yeah! But you're going to need a lot of help with you. Case in point, you can see a quarterback in this situation, bust or boom. You can see a defensive tackle, ball out 1 year. Next year, let him lose the defensive end who was getting all the pressure around the corner. So now the quarterbacks can run around. Same D tackle, sorry. J.J. Watt comes to mind. How did J.J. Watt fall off the hill? Two things. One, injuries, but more so, hey, dog, who else is out here doing stuff with me? Nobody. This is a situation where I'm looking at Sam Darnold. Are you of the 97%? Mm-hmm. Are you a system? Are you just going to go to the Jets and be sorry, go to Carolina, be all right, and maybe go to a good team after that if you don't make it work in Carolina and be good or great? Point is, it's on you right now. Look in the mirror and see if Sam Darnold can respond.
Now a lot of pressure, not only, like you said, Sam Darnold, not only will be telling about Adam Gase now that he's departed, like, hey, big dog, how bad were you? But also it's going to be very telling of Joe Douglas, the GM for the Jets. We've praised him since he stepped foot on the scene, right? He ends up moving Jamal Adams, gets a ton of picks from the Seahawks. Okay. He ends up facilitating all of these right moves. Everything looks great, has a lot of draft capital. But now everything hinges on this number two pick. Hmm. First off, everything hinges on who you going to take. You going to take Zach Wilson? You going to take Justin Fields? You going to take Mac Jones? Who you going to take? Hmm. Regardless, you going to look kind of bad. Mm. Why? Because whoever the 49ers take is going to have more success than whoever you take. And it's not because of your quarterback, but it's more so because whoever the 49ers take is instantly going to succeed. Mm. So whoever you take is now going to be compared to someone who will immediately produce greater. Why does that matter? Let's talk big picture. Mitch Trubisky, 25-13 his last 38 games. Dak Prescott, 20-17 his last 37 games. Why has Mitch Trubisky been drugged through the mud for so long?
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky, Pro Bowler 2018. Dak Prescott, Pro Bowler 2018. Mitch Trubisky, more playoff appearances or just as many as Dak Prescott these last 3 years. Why has Mitch Trubisky's name been drugged through the mud? Because Mitch Trubisky has for so long been compared to Patrick Mahomes, same draft class, been compared to Deshaun Watson, same draft class. Yeah. So whoever the Jets take with this number two overall pick is forever going to be compared to who the Niners take at number three and also who the Jags will take in Trevor Lawrence at number one. Mm. Joe Douglas, his future, the general manager as the general manager for the Jets, it truly lies in this decision, which is why I think sell oh so risky. Oh, so risky to go all in on a quarterback, either at BYU that didn't play any Power 5 games this year, or a quarterback in Justin Fields. But either way, Joe Douglas, you just put your whole future on a rookie quarterback. Mm. To me, that's interesting.
How about this? All of that was interesting. Let's put a cherry on top. Will the 49ers take the lead in this situation, just like they followed when you saw with Carolina? You trade away if you're the Sam Darnold and the Jets. You give them away, right? Are the 49ers going to sit there and try and give away Jimmy G? You think that could happen?
That's a good point.
I don't think it's that
good. I think it's a good question. Here's why I don't think it will happen. Number one is this. The Jets played themselves, and I'm glad you went to this point. The Jets played themselves. If y'all were going to trade Sam Darnold, trade Sam Darnold before the Niners make their move. Why? Because when the Niners trade up to get that number three overall pick, we all knew the Jets drafting a quarterback.
Yep.
We all knew the Jets was drafting a quarterback because the Jets would have made the move instead of the Dolphins. So when the Jets don't trade the number two overall pick, we all like, boom, y'all drafting the quarterback.
Okay.
If we know you drafting a quarterback, Jets, you want to know who just lost his value? Sam Darnold. Mm. Sam Darnold is worth more to a team that needs him, is worth more than a second, a fourth, and a sixth. He's worth more than that. But you want to know when I know he's not worth more than that? When you going to draft a rookie quarterback. So now the Niners, if you was going to trade Jimmy G.
Oh, I'm glad they're not.
Man. Do you trade Jimmy G now that we know he a backup to y'all anyway? Mm. I don't think the Niners will trade him because I don't think they'll get what they want. Because if all Sam Darnold got was this second, this fourth, and this sixth, the Niners ain't getting this first rounder that they want with Jimmy G.
There it is.
Aaron Rodgers will enter his 17th season with the Packers in the fall. But what about beyond that? Rodgers said yesterday that he does not know if his future in Green Bay is in his hands. But he went on to say that his MVP season may have played a role with management's decisions. Y'all take a listen.
All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that. And may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired. Ultimately, things haven't really changed on that front.
So, Sal, will this be Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay?
No, this won't be it. 2023 will be it, but not this year. And I'm not even going to say next year. It's the year after that. Aaron Rodgers knows it's written on the walls. His time is going to be up. Obviously, there's cap implications that support that. Let's talk about the fact in 2023, $2.8 million dead money cap hit and would save $25.5 million if you were to release Aaron Rodgers that time. That's the time. Okay, now here's the problem, and this is why I love Aaron Rodgers and that little smirk he has. It's because there's no better feeling. Well, there's one. But there's no other better feeling than being in a situation where people want you gone. You stupid. People want you gone, but they can't get rid of you. Oh, you haven't been there? Like, I got a couple uncles like that. You're like, Oh, what? Because you know, I got you now. So it's so funny. Aaron Rodgers is like, oh, y'all want to, Jordan Love, oh, he cute, ain't he? Dude, so far away from being on the football field and actually producing that he knows y'all can't do anything with me. So he's in the same situation he was last year. But with that said, Aaron Rodgers knows this team is close. NFC Championship game, consecutive years, close. But the Packers organization, their minds are closed. They already have moved on. Now, all they're trying to do is say, when's the best time? When can we get this clean break? Because there is going to be a groundswell of hate towards Jordan Love until he goes out there and produces. He's not ready right now. He won't be ready this year. Aaron Rodgers is not getting benched after an MVP campaign. So we have to talk about 2023, the only time it makes sense.
Everything you said on point. No, it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay. But let's also talk literally. Who knocked the Packers out of the playoffs? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by a 43-year-old quarterback. Sure Aaron Rodgers is 37 years of age. Aaron Rodgers, at least based off talent alone, all tangible things, is as talented as Tom Brady. Since Tom Brady was 37 years of age, he won 4 Super Bowls along with a NFL MVP at the age of 37 and beyond. Aaron Rodgers, currently 37, will be 38 in December. So if you're the Packers and you literally saw a 43-year-old quarterback keep you from your objective, keep you from your destination, keep you from your dream, why in the world would you be in a rush to move on from your 37-year-old quarterback? It would make no sense. Furthermore, you hit the nail on the head when you said you're not moving on from a quarterback that wins an MVP. And history shows that. It's not just Sal's opinion. It's not just my own. Look at quarterbacks that win the MVP. It takes them at least 3 seasons to move on to a new team. Tom Brady went to the Bucks. Peyton Manning, 09, wins MVP, goes to the Broncos 3 years later. Steve McNair, the late Steve McNair, goes to Baltimore. Kurt Warner goes to the Giants. Joe Montana goes to the Chiefs. And that is, at a minimum, the fastest amount of time that an NFL MVP, a quarterback, moves on to a team is 3 years. Just no way, shape, form, logic, reason, or justification that Aaron Rodgers will move on.
And it's been too good to him. What the hell are y'all doing? Y'all this close to getting over the hump and winning the Super Bowl, but you want to reset just because you prematurely drafted at the position. Makes no sense. Rodgers and LaFleur, the most wins by a head coach and a quarterback in the last 2 years, they've been together. Now, all they need to do is finish the deal. It's that simple. But it's hard to finish the deal when you don't draft properly for other resources to build around Aaron Rodgers. You draft to help him with the Gatorade and passing and the towels on the sidelines. It makes no sense what the hell Green Bay is doing.
The 49ers have the 3rd pick in the NFL draft after making a huge trade, and all signs say they're picking a quarterback. Now, multiple reports say it's going to be former Alabama quarterback Mac Jones, even though our guy, Bucky Brooks, said Jones should not be picked in the first round, while our own Joel Klatt has Justin Fields right behind Trevor Lawrence as the top quarterback in the draft. So, Marcellus, answer the question once and for all.
Yeah.
So the 49ers draft Justin Fields over Mac Jones?
That's my only option.
That's it.
Don't draft either one of these.
They're drafting one.
Mac, who? Jones. Look, if you're forcing me, just to get this paycheck, to answer this question, I'm going to say Mac Jones so he can sit and watch Jimmy G do what Jimmy G does, which is create magic when healthy. That said, if I have to look at these 2 prospects, for this situation, I prefer Mac Jones. Let me say, great, great Mac Jones. Great, great Justin Fields. We did see him on the field at the same time, even though they went against you. Ooh, that didn't go well. Justin Fields. Understood. Here's the thing. I'm looking at Mac Jones as a guy who can hit the short intermediate passes and then also has a microprocessor that is able to see what the defenses are giving him and dump and dart out there. I look at Justin Fields and I see tremendous skill set, tremendous athletic ability on top of just the ability to play the quarterback position. But I don't always see that translate in terms of what he's seeing in the constructs and what he's able to do. So the maneuverability is lacking a little bit with Justin Fields as it is with Mac Jones. So for this situation, sitting on the bench, watching Jimmy G hopefully stay healthy and shine, I would prefer Mac Jones in that situation. If Jimmy G were to falter, I would go with a Mac Jones to be his successor more so than Justin Fields. But I know you don't agree with that.
Nah, I don't agree. I'm about to talk to you, but can I talk to America? Can I talk to the camera?
Okay.
Mac Jones is simply Jimmy G reincarnate. I'm going to say some things that y'all don't like, but boy, are they true. See, Jimmy G is a major beneficiary of Scheme, Kyle Shanahan's Scheme. Kyle Shanahan does a phenomenal job creating passing lanes, mismatching his offensive players on your defensive players to make sure Jimmy G wins. Mac Jones is a beneficiary of tremendous talent. Reminding you all, Mac Jones played with Jerry Jeudy at the end of last season, first-round pick. Henry Ruggs, first-round pick. Devontae Smith, first wide receiver to win the Heisman since Desmond Howard in early 1990s. And Jalen Waddle, about to be a top 10 or top 15 pick. Mac Jones is a beneficiary of scheme, while Jimmy G is a benefit. Mac Jones is a beneficiary of talent, while Jimmy G is a beneficiary of scheme. I am not going to punish Mac Jones for being so, but I'm not going to praise him either. Mm. Let me bring my point to a head when we look at it like this. Mac Jones, Justin Fields. Let's look at the percentage of their yards that were after the catch.
Here you go.
Mac Jones, 53% of your yards came after the catch this year, whereas only 33% of Justin Fields' yards came after the catch. That means, Mac Jones, your receivers were doing more of the work in padding your stats than you were. Justin Fields, you were doing a lot more work than Mac Jones was. Wait, Mac Jones, that's eerily similar to Jimmy G. Because Jimmy G, he leads the NFL in yards after catch. I'm not going to punish him, but I ain't going to praise him either. Mac Jones is simply Jimmy G reincarnate. If the 49ers are wise, draft Justin Fields. You already seen what Mac Jones can do. You got him in Jimmy G.
Oh, my God. Justin Fields, I don't want to punish either because they had playing at top schools with top talent, which also comes with you're playing against other top talent. I hate when we had that argument. Oh, they're playing with the best, and look who's on their team. Look who's on the other team. Like, you playing
Vanderbilt, Tennessee.
No, I don't want to go through the whole schedule. Really? Didn't they play Clemson? How'd that turn out? Did they play Ohio State? How'd that go?
Here's what we know.
No.
You can't compare that Alabama talent. Those
I'm not comparing talent. I'm comparing him against other Alabama quarterbacks that we're trying to give him
the reputation. Tua was better. Tua was better with the same guys. Better with the same dudes as Mac Jones.
Wait a minute. He lost one game over two seasons. We're talking about Mac Jones. We're talking about 80%. 80% completion rate. 464, five touchdowns, no interceptions in the national championship game. Historical. And you want to sit there. Historical. Look, no quarterback by record, by efficiency, is better than Tua ever.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's not the standard. The standard is, if you want, you're trying to give me this reputational bias. You're trying to say what Alabama always does at quarterback, and here
don't
he goes again.
Sale.
This ain't A.J.
Don't
McCarron.
Do this sale.
This ain't A.J. McCarron.
Do not
but
do
But is Justin Fields Dwayne
do
Haskins? No, he ain't. So I'm not going to do that to either one. But if you make me pick, I'll go with Mac Jones because he did more pro-style things than a translate.
Rarely in life can we compare apples to apples. Rarely. Usually we got
to these are not apples to apples. They play each other.
Mac Jones and Tua is apples to apples.
So well, that's good.
If Tua played with the same lot of receivers and a not as good running back, a not as good Devontae Smith, and Tua was a better quarterback in college than Mac Jones with the same receivers, and we got cats already trying to replace Tua in the NFL, then why in God's name would a quarterback who wasn't as good as his predecessor with the exact same talent,
First of all,
why would we assume that he's going to be better?
First of all, you misspoke because somebody broke Alabama's single-season passing yards and FBS single-season completion percentage record last year, and his name wasn't Tua. His name was Mac who? Mac Jones! Put some respect on him so he may be better than Tua. To even my more of my argument.
No.
Point being, ain't nobody yanking Mac Jones because he's going to be behind Jimmy G anyway.